Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Let's roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side, you so fly. She's so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side, you so fly. She's so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me A. Yo, 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 what up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week, man. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. And this week, I'm going to do the same thing for y'all, right? We got a really dynamic show that's going to go down for y'all tonight. So I want y'all to stick in, stay tuned, and we're going to get to it, right? All right, bet. So before we do all that and I get into my guest and bringing her up, right, we got to do what we do each and every week, and that's giving thanks. Giving thanks to all the people that download the audio version of this platform, because y'all are the real MVPs, and to say that each and every week, because like I say, every time, y'all, it's one thing to be up here in front of the camera, and we know this is the main means of how people go viral is the video portion. But to know that people are really out there wanting to hear what you got to say and wanting to hear what your audience is, what your guest is talking about and the whole nine is crazy. So I got to give a double shout out to all the people that download the audio version of this platform. Thank y'all so much from the bottom of my heart. Okay. Secondly, yo, listen, I'm just thankful, right? Because, you know, the boy been putting in work, right, behind the scenes. So you know that we put out Kill No One about 2 months ago, part one, which is a short film comedy that, you know, me and the crew, we came together, we knocked that out. So today, right, part two came out. Part two dropped today. So for all y'all out there that's on my page, on my timeline, I just need y'all to do me a favor. Go out there, push play. Click on the link, push play, and just run the numbers up, all right? You know what I'm saying? Just look out for your boy. It's a funny joint. We got part two. All you got to do is like, share, comment, and all that. It's all free, right? It's all free to support. And just let me know what you're thinking, man, for real, because, yo, we put a lot of work into the effort, well, a lot of work and effort into the content that we create. And, you know, staying creative, you know what I mean? Not being able to fall out of the spot of having an imagination. So thank y'all so much for all of y'all that push play already today. And for those of y'all that's watching now and those of you that will watch in the future, yo, I need y'all to just make sure that y'all go out there and check it out. It's on my timeline. It's pinned to my timeline on Facebook. We have Team Collective TV on YouTube if you want to go to YouTube and check it out. And the Collective Visions page also on Facebook. So either way it go, you guys, it's out there for you, man. I definitely appreciate if y'all will go out there, push play, and show your boy some love, all right? So another thing is, too, you know I got to give a shout-out to all the people that support the platform, so I want y'all to always go out there and make sure Lit Sticks is in the building, all right? So if you guys are into the herbal essence, you know what I mean, the 420 vibes, we got that for y'all, all right? We want y'all to make sure that y'all go check that out. Check out Lit Sticks and the brand. They have 7 different strains. They have 2 that they just recently released. And, you know, for those of y'all that are interested, make sure y'all go check them out. We do have a link in the description. Also, Collective Wear. Y'all know the vibes, man. Y'all want to get a shirt to support y'all boy. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what to do. It's a link in the description. Go out there, click the link, check out the shop, and shop with your boy, man. We got a bunch of new designs out for Collective Wear, so it's out there, all right? So if you guys can make that happen for me, that would be totally, totally dope, and I would appreciate it, all right? So support your boy, support the platform. All right.
So before I get into bringing my guests on, y'all know what I do each and every week. I got to give y'all my spill, right? I got to let y'all know what's going on out there because I think a lot of people, you know what I mean? They get distracted by things, you know? Recently, so many people have been distracted by the Epstein list to the point where they're not really paying attention to what's going on in the background. Now, the one thing that I do want to let y'all know as people who support this platform, that the comments will be wide open tonight. So what I need y'all to do is if throughout this conversation that we have, if anything strikes y'all, y'all got questions and y'all want to join the conversation, the comments will be wide open. So make sure y'all get in the comments. I make sure that my guests see the comments as well as those of you guys who post the comments, right? And then we can react to them as well too, all right? So just make sure that that's there. So really getting into what we're talking about real quick about the distractions, because I understand, like, people just want to know shit. And when we think about what people want to know, we always want to know drama. But what we need to pay attention to is that whenever drama is the forefront, that means something else is going on in the background, because emotionally, drama is something that people gravitate to, right? Because it's something that affects your flesh, not just your spirit, but it affects your flesh. It has this double effect when it comes down to negativity, right? When it comes down to drama, when it comes down to what a person feels like they want to know. Because regardless of who on the Epstein list or not, and regardless of all that, what we want to know is that when are we going to start paying attention to get together and start yelling out how we need to protect these children, right? More so than we need to figure out, because we want to know who was on the list. Now, look, I ain't my business. If you want to know that, you just know that. But the fact that, you know, during this time that everybody's been talking about Epstein, do y'all know in the background that the U.S. and all these other countries are coming up with different ways to change the monetary system? Do y'all know that? Because at the end of the day, who on that list and who not on that list, we could pretty much tell. Like, we don't have to know specifically what names are on the list or the people who visited his island or the ones that's into pedophilia and all these other things. Like, us knowing who, it doesn't mean nothing if they're not going to do nothing about it. Like, what? How we know, we don't know, it don't mean to do nothing about it. But the fact of the matter is that the children and all these other things that are being affected are our children. Not black, not white, not Spanish, not, it don't matter about all that. The children don't matter what the race of the child is. A child has no business being exploited the way that they do in the situation that has happened when it is attached to the Epstein list. So the fact that we're using that as a means to separate each other and get into this whole bag about y'all mad because of all that. Listen, let me just tell y'all something. While y'all mad about that and y'all mad about the president, which I don't get because people voted him in, the man doing everything he said he was going to do. But the one thing that I'm helping y'all, I hope y'all paying attention to, is that your road to freedom is not based on drama. Like, all of us, our goal and our number one mindset should be freedom. Our number one goal should not be just wanting to know who do. Our goal should be freedom. Our number one goal should be freedom, because listen, no matter what your skin color is, if you are under a certain level when it comes down to your financial situation, you are the same. I don't care. You can say whatever you want. I get it. You can call yourself whatever from whatever. I get it. Your ancestry go back to whatever. I get that too. It's all love. It's all respect. But what I'm saying to you is that if y'all not paying attention to what's going on around us, they don't care nothing about who you are and what you look like under a certain level. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. So the fact that we using this corny shit to separate us, because right now, like, listen, there's been a town that just popped up, right? In Arkansas. So now it's just all white only town in Arkansas, Ozark, in the Ozark Mountains, right? It's called Return to the Land, right? And it's a bunch of people, you know, well, supposed to be a bunch of Caucasian people, right? Because we got to get out of stipulation of calling each other colors that we not, right? But anyway, you know, and they got their own town, and the basis of what they're saying is that, yo, they don't want no people that are gay and all that other stuff. They want no black people in there, no Asians and no Hispanics. They just want to live with them. And so now the whole commentary that's going up and down all these social media places is a bunch of people who are arguing against the fact that they want that. So you got Caucasian people on this end is saying, yo, y'all, you know, black people get all this and do all that, and now they mad because they talking about an all-white town. And I'm trying to figure this out. Like, yo, I don't know what y'all know, but I'm trying to tell y'all, like, wasn't the most of this shit all white before? Like, y'all don't remember having the whole things where they showed you the water fountains and the people walking in through back doors? And we done been through all that. So the fact that another group of people still want to live like that nowadays, we don't care. Like, why should we care? Like that, a group of people that look alike said that they want to go somewhere. They don't want to be around somebody like me because of the way I look. Do I care? Like, am I supposed to care about that dumb shit? And if I am, why? Help me out. Because I don't care. Like, no, listen, it's people who look like us who don't want to be. I don't, listen, what does that matter? Like, we need a bunch of like-minded people to be around each other. We need people whose goal is, number one goal is freedom. That's it. Like, we don't care about people talking about what you look like and you mad. Like, any of y'all had a choice how you was going to come into this planet and you was going to make whatever you had to make. Like, you had a choice before you got here to say, yo, what color you want to be. Like, who? Like, yo, you here. You were born into it. So whatever you born into, this is what it is. Like, why should we be upset? And why should we should be using these as a means to keep separating us by color? Like, think about it. It's stupid enough that we was to think that during all of these things, segregation, Jim Crow and all that other shit, like, it was only white and black people in America. Like, yo, it was Asians and Hispanics here too. So, look, they wasn't ever in the school. You mean to tell me that everything that went on is only between black and white people? Like, who, what, like, why? What are you talking about? That shit is stupid. It was a bunch of, everybody else was here. You got to think about it. The United States was colonized by the Spanish, by the French, by the Italian. So what are you talking about? Like, if you kind of put it all together, they all was here. Like, all of them, all the European countries was over here. They had certain parts, this, that, and the third. So what are y'all talking about? And then y'all know when the Asians came through, when they was building all the railroads. Now, come on, y'all. Y'all know that. Millions of them was here. Millions of people from over in China that was in prisons and that was poor people that they sent over here to America to help build the railroad system here in America. We know that. It was a bunch of them. Right? So what are we talking about here? Like, but when it comes down to history, all they show us is little black people walking into a white school because now all of a sudden it's segregated and that's it. But they, so the Asian people didn't have to go to school when they was here? The Latino people didn't go to school while they was here? Like, what are you talking about? But in our history, all they doing is showing us this divide between black and white people, and still to this day, that's what the main focus is. And it's so stupid because we going through the same shit. If you poor, you poor. If you grew up in a ghetto or a trailer park, I don't care. You're going through the same circumstances. You got the same WIC. You had the same food stamps. You stayed. You stood in the same lines to go get whatever they was giving y'all for free. You had the same Section 8. Like, what? Where's the difference at in the circumstances and the things that we had to deal with? Yo, besides what? Our skin color is just that. But our circumstances are all the same. And yet we still use the stupidest shit to keep us separated. And now that's what we're arguing about. Right? And then we got the whole thing going on with the law, too. So now it ain't got nothing to do with whether you white or black. Now the law is against you. Now the police is the ones. Because, look, y'all know with the new guy, the kid who got punched in the face, right, with the traffic stop. Now, I can't believe this, yo. This is just me. Like, listen, I was watching the PBD podcast today. And this really pissed me off because these people, these are all a bunch of rich men sitting up here. Not that that matter. But what I'm saying to you is that it comes a point in time where, you know, common sense just got to be common. Y'all, they wanted to push the issue because they claim that black people, because they have something against this whole DEI thing, because somehow or another, brown and black people have been roped up into DEI like it was for us, and nobody benefited from DEI but white women and gay people. No disrespect. I'm just being honest. Like, yo, if you get props, get props. I'm going to give y'all flowers right now. I'm not going to hate. We know that that's who really benefited off of DEI, but the fact, they keep lumping us in with this dumb shit, and this is what they did. So these guys are sitting up here trying to make a big deal based on the traffic stop before he showed what he showed. But here's my thing. Regardless, yo, they could bust the window if they needed to do it. If they saying that he wasn't complaining, all that, we get that. But busting the window and then punching him in his face, like, where do you get to do that? right? To the point where we got a sheriff standing up there trying to take up for his people by saying, yo, y'all upset because y'all only saw one part of the video. No, we don't care. We're not upset because we only saw one part of the video. We upset because your man busted his window and then punched him in the face. Like, what part of the of whatever was going on gave him the right to punch him in the face? Just because he didn't do what they told him to do, all right, bet. But then when they bust the window, just like he reached in there, look, they bust the window, punched him in the face, then opened the door, took his seatbelt off, and took him out. Now, why did the punch in the face have to be in there? So I'm saying to y'all, like, no, we're not living like that. If y'all want to continue to use this black and white thing as a means of separation and just to have a talking point to act like black people should not get nothing because everything they feel like we've been given, and we ain't been given shit. We've just been taken. Whatever somebody has been given based on a bunch of people who work for free. No, I didn't have to do it. And maybe my grandparents didn't have to do it. But when, before they became who they were, before that, and the their great-grandparents and everybody before that, they part of the people who helped work for free. There's no other race of people in this world or this country that can say that their lineage come from working for free. And that ain't even our lineage. We go way before that and we more all this other shit. But just the fact that that's just where they leave us at. And that goes along with my guest tonight, because my guest is here to fight for a cause, right? It's some crazy stuff that happened to her husband. And so often I have people on this platform that is dealing with a bunch of stuff that has to do with the law. The very people that we pay them and they do harm to us. We pay for the harm that goes to us. And then whenever we're labeled a certain way, just because it's labeled that way, we are looked at that way. So here's what we get ready to do. I got a couple of comments up here. I'm going to show the comments. And then I'm going to bring my guests in here so we can get into this. Because listen, y'all, I tell y'all, on this platform, this is what we do. This platform is open for people who need to get the word out about things that's going on in the world. This ain't a clickbait platform. This ain't the platform you want to come on if you think that I'm going to have just anything up here. That ain't what it is. We giving that information out up here. That's no reason for me to have a platform just to be sitting up here talking to y'all. I ain't got to do that, and none of y'all need that. It's some mad people out here with platforms, right? But ain't nobody doing what I'm doing, and that's a fact. So let's do this. Let me show these couple of we're gonna show them, and we're gonna get my guests in the building. All right, don't forget the Native Americans. No, listen, I'm not even, you know, I'm not disregarding the Native Americans, but who are the Native Americans? That's another thing we need to get into, right? That's a whole nother story, because the people who they call Native Americans ain't the indigenous Americans, right? We know about the Mongols and all them other people that came from further north out of Kent. Listen, y'all, it's a lot that we could get into, right? But when it comes down to Native Americans, yes, it was a bunch of people that looked just like me that didn't come here from Africa. We didn't come here on no boats. We was already here, because it was more people transported during the intercontinental slave trade than it was for the one that we all talking about, the Atlantic one, right? So let's be real, y'all. Like, we are Native Americans. Do you think that so-called African Americans or a bunch of people who was brought over here from Africa, y'all bugging, y'all? Nah, the ones who came here had a pit stop in the Caribbean, and yes, the Caribbeans and all them was flooded with people from Africa, but over here, come on, that's a whole nother show. But we'll get into that if y'all need that, and I got receipts, because I do more than just listen to people. I read. The sheriff needs to be fired, and that's a fact. I agree with you 1,000%. You don't protect that. Ain't nothing in that's in either one of those videos should have got him punched in the face. Period. You don't get to punch somebody in the face because you upset. That man, if that dude got a job, then listen, you just paid, that dude paid to get punched in the face. And if that's the case, then he should have been able to punch the officer back then. You want respect between people, you got to give respect. Sheriff T.K. Waters, that's his name. Yeah, we know, and we know he is so-called African-American, black person, brown, whatever we want to call it. We understand that, right? Because what we know is that all skin folk ain't our kinfolk, right? Because that's the point I'm trying to make to y'all. If we all really came over here on boats, then why is the people who look like they all came over here on the boats the most separated? Stop playing with me, y'all. So listen, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to bring my guests up. Right? Because this is the vibe, yo. We got to get into it. So I'm going to bring my guest up. And yeah, we're going to get into it, y'all. Whoa, what's going on? What's going on?
How you doing? What's going on?
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you here. Right? And I see we got Daniel in the building. I'm going to bring Daniel on up too. Let's get into it. Daniel, what's going on?
How we doing, guys?
Hi, Daniel. Nice seeing you again.
Good seeing you. Hell yeah.
All right, bet. So listen, this is what we're going to do, y'all, real quick. I need both of y'all to do it, no matter who goes first, but we need y'all to introduce yourselves to the audience and then let them know why you're on the platform this evening. But we'll start with you, Rebecca.
Okay. My name's Rebecca. I am the founder and host of a podcast called Wickedly Judged. We focus on wrongful convictions and getting the untold stories out there. Most people don't know, but there are hundreds of thousands of people sitting in prison right now that are completely innocent, and the court system will do nothing to help them. So I'm trying to get their stories out there one at a time.
Thanks.
I started it because, as you mentioned, today marks a pretty big milestone. It's been 20 years to the day that my husband has been incarcerated for a crime he didn't commit. And my whole reason for starting the podcast was just to get his story out there. And then I was like, well, if this happened to him, how many other people has it happened to? And right. my inbox was flooded with stories. And it's taken me a while. So guys, if you've emailed me, I am getting to your story. It just takes time to research and go through court documents and do everything that we do to be able to put your story online.
Facts.
Just bear with me.
Gotcha.
It's just
gotcha.
Me and Daniel. It's just us right now.
Gotcha. That it is, yeah.
All right, so go ahead, Daniel. Tell the people who you are, man.
So my name is Daniel. I'm the one of the co-founders of Veteran Alliance. We are a group of people that basically help support active and veterans. I'm active duty myself. The others that we work with all have some sort of military affiliation, be it veteran or active service. We've done a lot of different projects, from helping set up housing for veterans through to working with people like Rebecca and Wickedly Judged. And a lot of it simply started just with a simple conversation on how can we help. The biggest question that a lot of the time that people don't really ask is, what can we do, right? There's always something that can be done. I don't believe that there's never any solution. A lot of people are always looking for something more. They're always looking for some sort of support. So when I heard about what was going on with Wickedly Judged and with Rebecca's situation, I said, okay, well, what can we do to help? And then ever since then, we've started working on building this up. And again, as Rebecca said, that the story started off with one single person, and then all of a sudden people have started pouring their heart and soul into their personal situations, seeking opportunity. And part of it is a level of desperation to get the story, their personal story out there about what right. they're going through, and knowing that they're not alone. And there's others out there similarly that want help and support. So Wickedly Judged became the biggest opportunity, one of the biggest opportunities for Veteran Alliance to get on board with. And it's definitely a roller coaster, because again, our thing is that we get people constantly connecting with us, and there's so much that's coming in, and people are having to start again and tell their stories. And it's like, we don't know everything that's going on. So we need them to sort of break it down for us. So right. we can help them to be able to figure out, well, what is it ultimately that you need? So it started off with simply just a podcast idea, to now we've got an investigative service component, which is where we've come in. I'm a private investigator myself. I've got a team of investigators through to now we've got sponsorship packages and promotional opportunities and merchandising. And it's now just gone from a small little concept idea to a whole big program that we're now putting out there. So it's amazing. Very exciting. Yeah. So again, I'm Daniel with Veteran Alliance. And you know, we've linked up to be able to create this opportunity, which I'm very proud of. I know Rebecca works extremely hard in. I don't unfortunately have as much involvement as much as I would like to. We are definitely trying to make sure that's doable. So I mean, she was sending emails and, hey, we've got this case and that case, and I'm like, what is going on here? So let's take a one case at a time, see what's going on. And we appreciate everyone sending in their stuff. As we said, we are trying to get back to you. We try and keep up that communication. We're always looking for help. It's amazing. We appreciate the opportunity to come out on your talk show and talk about this as well.
Yeah, facts, man, because it's important. I've had a lot of parents on here. I've had a lot of family members on here who are dealing with the same thing. I had a guy on here about 3 or 4 shows ago who was wrongly convicted for a double murder, and he was actually exonerated based on, you know, evidence, because it was a new program that showed up in New Jersey where the mayor had, you know, came up with this new program and allowed him. And he was the first one, well, out of 500 applicants, he was the one that they chose, and he was the one who got exonerated, right? And but there's a lot of people who I've had on the platform, and now not so much so, because they've come up with a technology to kind of block the internet access in prisons now, where it's limited, where they could get internet access, but it doesn't allow them a continuous stream. But before that, I was able to get a couple of guys that are in actually locked up who has cell phones, who were able to come on the platform and tell a story about what's going on that were wrongly convicted, right? And just serving time, because they just look like whatever a person described them as, not necessarily that they was them. So my heart goes out to everybody that I have on the platform, and even you guys that are in the front lines with your programs, because like I said, it could easily happen to any of us. And the one thing that everybody that is synonymous to everybody is that whenever they were going through it, they felt like they were the only ones.
I definitely agree. And I mean, having a background in law enforcement, one of the things I started a while back was my PhD in psychology. So it was education, then I moved over to psychology. And in counterterrorism, we teach a concept. It's an acronym called ESHAB-D, and it's a way to break down how to actually identify a person correctly when you file a report in simple matters, right? And the concept of ESHAB-D is based on like ethnicity, sex, height, build, descriptive features. And if you use that concept, you can get pretty much, you can describe anybody to an extent. And a lot of the time when people are filing a police report, you've got a lot of emotions, you've got a lot of adrenaline, this person just did this to me, so now your mentality and your psyche is all over the place and distorted, that you can't actually provide the right information the mass majority of the time. Not to mention, and without getting too political, there's also the racial component. There's, do I really want to get this person into trouble, or was he truly involved? Was he not? Oh, he was present, but he might have been in the distance. But that's what your mind is focused on as well. So a lot of the time people are getting the wrong information about these people. And we've seen cases of that exactly. Like we've got a case where someone wasn't even in the state. How are they being convicted when they weren't even in the state at the time?
That's crazy.
There's the vendettas, you know, oh, I'm going to get you into trouble because I can. And a lot of the time the court systems here in this country have failed these people. They've failed the opportunity for these people to stand up for themselves. And then these people are like, well, who's going to defend me? And if we can't put out their stories and get the truth out there and get the message across, like, get your facts right, give people a chance to defend themselves, look at the facts, even if we present the facts correctly from a legal perspective, how can you charge somebody based on hearsay? How can you do this and that? So we take the information, we take the cases, we look at them and analyze them, from an investigative perspective. We look at them from a legal perspective. We've now got legal teams that are working with us, and we're seeing an insane amount of evidence that just doesn't make sense. How can someone be charged for something when they weren't even present?
Listen, you listen. I had a lady on here just two shows ago, and her son, he's going through that exact same thing. They came up with a book. It's called The Wrong Ride Home. Well, not the, but Wrong Ride Home, because all he did was, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Yeah.
She emailed me about it. Sent me the book.
You get what I'm saying? So, you know, and I had her on it, and it was the same thing. It was just like a simple, I'm just going to get a ride home, turned into him getting, you know, 60 years in prison. You know what I mean? And for something he didn't do just because people said so. So, Rebecca, listen, let's talk a little bit about, before we get into, like, Wickedly Judged and all of those things, we got to talk about your inspiration behind it. Because, you know, when I came across your story, it was through Meg, right? And then, you know, we all been in communication since then. And just the details behind what you're going through, I'm going to be honest with you. People like you is what's needed in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest with you, because most of the time when men, right, go through things, the first thing that comes into our mind is, people going to give up on me. People are going to leave me. Because as men, we've been downgraded to the only thing that makes us worth something is what we can provide financially. Not that we have all of these other things that make up for why we are great leaders. More so than it's just about whatever finances come in. So whenever you go through a situation like what your husband has gone through, where, you know, this person still has to be respected in the position that he's titled in, but outside of his presence. So let's talk a little bit about what you personally had to go through that motivated you to start Wickedly Judged.
Wow. I would have to say the biggest thing is watching the public pretenders just totally not care. During his trial, the guy that was supposed to be, you know, defending him and helping to prove his innocence didn't care. Did not care at all. And then when it came to the appellate court, they never appealed his conviction. They only appealed his sentence. And there's a difference. So when you start seeing all these lawyers that are supposed to care about their clients not care, what are you supposed to do? So after years and years and years of searching for something, anything, I found all the evidence that the prosecutor buried. And when I did that, I took it to an attorney, and she assured us that she was going to bring him home. And instead, because of two little words in her motion, he's still sitting in prison. And we've exhausted everything that we can do statewide. Now we have to go to federal. Well, to file federal motions, there's a certain procedure. I didn't go to law school. I'm not a lawyer. But I'm going to figure out this procedure. I've read every book that I can get my hands on. Because I'm not paying somebody $20,000, which is what one attorney told me would be a retainer. Not that would get the motion filed. It was just a retainer. And I don't know about you, but I ain't got 20 grand sitting in my pocket right now. But it's like they just don't care. All they care about is, if I win this case or if I go along with what the prosecutor says, can I get a promotion? And if I get that promotion, I'll make more money. And when I make more money, I'll have more power.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about their clients. Now, I'm not saying all of them, because there are still some out there that do. But the majority of them, your public pretenders are so overworked and have such high caseloads, they don't have the time to dedicate to each individual case. They get handed a case, walk up to the thing, either ask for a continuance or plead not guilty, and hello, we're moving to trial now. They have no idea about the person sitting there. Because you can read all you want to read on paper, but if you don't know what you're reading based on the person that you're supposed to be defending, you're going to believe whatever that paper says that that prosecutor gave you. And the thing that gets me is there's these prosecutors out there that are withholding evidence all the time. It's become the norm for them.
Yeah.
They don't care about guilt or innocence. All they care about is their conviction rate. And as long as their conviction rate is high, they will get reelected. And as long as they get reelected, the community thinks that they're keeping them safe from all these criminals. But they're not. They're putting innocent people behind bars, and the criminals are still running the streets. Some of them get married and become preachers and have kids.
Yeah, that's the saddest part about it. So what is he actually charged with?
He got charged with aggravated murder, two counts of tampering with evidence, and one count of witness intimidation, I believe.
Yep.
And the witness intimidation was all based on a lie. He supposedly threatened the other people that were involved, and that never happened. The tampering with evidence was supposedly getting rid of bloody clothes. That didn't happen. And the aggravated murder, well, you know, he wasn't convicted of that, thankfully, because in the state of Ohio, that's basically the death penalty. He got convicted of murder, and they gave him 21 to life. Wow. And this little piece of technology right here has the confession of the person that actually did it. And during the interrogation, the detectives tell him to stop talking and don't tell him that he did it, and he will be going home tonight. They already have the person in custody that they take for the one that did it. Took me years to find it. It was under victim's name. Wasn't even under his case number, nothing.
You know what's crazy though? What you saying that, it all goes back to the fact that, you know, we have to go through so much when it comes to these prisons and the way that they're set up, because they're privatized, a lot of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that being said, there's regular business owners that are owning these prisons, and it's all for profit, right? So you got a bunch of people just running through or getting sent through just for profit. So not only, like you said, you call them public pretenders. I like that. They're going to get paid either way. You know what I'm saying? They're basic. Whether they get to pay the same, whether they win or lose the case. So that's why I feel like, they don't care about winning the case. Because they get paid the same thing either way. The one thing about it, though, like you said, moving up based on connections by being that person that seems like they're going along with the plan, which is to get the kickback from those that's been seen or sent to the private prisons, because it's all a racket, right? And how the money gets recycled. And like I said earlier in the opening, not only do we pay for the police that do what they do, the public defenders, the taxpayers, we pay for that. Mm-hmm. The money that subsidizing goes to the privately owned prisons, we pay for that too.
The prison system is one of the most successful businesses in the United States, and people need to understand that. They get the owner of the prison, if it's state run or private, it don't matter. They get a kickback for every prisoner that's in there per day. So what are they going to do? The judges are going to sentence them to the biggest sentences they can get, because guess what? If it is a privately owned prison, yes, they are definitely getting kickbacks in the form of campaign funds.
It also depends on the type of case as well. So the higher the type of case, the more money they get. If it's something lower, like lower level security, it's not beneficial for them. They prefer the bigger, the more dangerous criminals. The ones that could affect society and stuff like that, that's a better tax break for them as well, because it is a tax break as well.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you think about that, that's what they're giving out to people, even like your husband and others who didn't even do the crime. They just they're getting blamed for a crime that comes with the most time, because with the most time, the person who owns the prison, whether, like you said, it's state or private, that's how long they get to receive money. And it's a sad thing that that's what we're reduced to as civilians, right? As regular everyday people who are considered to be taxpaying people, we're nothing more than just a pretty much a commodity to those people who are in an elite status. And that's why in my intro, I said what I said. You know, it comes down to the point where our number one goal should be freedom, but not being tricked out of our freedom as well. But in the instance, like what happened with your husband, being totally innocent of a crime but getting blamed for it, and but then being forced to accept the crime as if he did it or not, and then having people like y'all and a bunch of others that are fighting for them. The only difference is all of you guys that are fighting, it's just that y'all are not together. Not in the sense of not like y'all can't be. It's just, that's just what it is. You're in Ohio. You got people in Georgia. You got people in Mississippi. You got people in North Carolina. You know, all these people are going through these different things, but it's the same thing. But it all needs to be attacked federally. And because everyone is doing the right thing, right? They're doing everything they can to start at the state level. And then, but it's really the federal that we need to go to, because when the Asian people got the hate crime bill, they went federal. They didn't wait around. Like, they didn't deal with a lot of things that we, as, you know, regular citizens or, you know, had to deal with in order to be here. And they were able to get a hate crime bill passed based off of things that happened in a nail shop. Not necessarily that things that happened in the streets or things that happened to them on a regular basis, something that happened in a nail shop. And they were able to get a hate crime bill. But for those of us who have to walk and live in these societies each and every day, who things are just being targeted towards a group of people every time, and we can't get no, because we're not grouping together going federal like the rest of these people are. And I think that's where it comes down to. So let me ask both of y'all, and either one of y'all can chime in on this. What do y'all think it's going to take for us to really get these stories in front of these people in these Senate seats and these congressional seats? Like, what do we really need to do?
I got this, because I've been thinking about this. It's going to take a community. It's going to take everybody coming together as one. And it's going to take us standing up. And it's like in Ohio here right now, what they're trying to do is get rid of this qualified immunity. Which basically, if you don't know what that is, that makes it so prosecutors, police, and judges are not held accountable for the mistakes that they make when it comes to, like, suing them civilly. You can't go against them. So, like, if you've been exonerated after a wrongful conviction, you can file a civil lawsuit, but you cannot include the judge, the prosecutor, or the police, because they have immunity against that. Get rid of that. Start holding these people that are making these mistakes accountable for their actions. And the minute you start holding them accountable, I guarantee you wrongful convictions will go down. Detectives will actually have to do their jobs. The police will actually have to investigate. And the prosecutor will actually have to look at the case to make sure he even has a case. Not do what they do now with, oh, okay, you say he did it. Great. Let's fit the narrative to make sure that we find him guilty. And that's what goes on right now. That's what's happening all over the United States. I don't handle cases just here in Ohio. I've already handled a case in Texas. I've got two coming out of Missouri. I handled one in Florida. I'm all over, because this is a nationwide problem. What used to be what we called the good old boys type of mentality, in like the little small towns, you know? Well, that's nationwide mentality now. It's the good old boys. As long as you fit in their crowd, then you're okay. But if you don't fit into their crowd, you stand on the outside, they're going to do everything they can to put you behind bars. Y'all think slavery ended. Slavery did not end. It went from the cotton fields to the prison system. And if you don't believe me, go check out neighborhoods where the fathers are being ripped out. Because why? Because they're black. And it was a black man that committed this crime. And don't you know, they all look alike. Like, come on.
That's true.
I'm being real. Like, I don't, uh-huh. I'm one of those rare people. I don't see color. I see your heart. That's what's important to me. Where is your heart? Right. Not what the color of your skin is. So slavery didn't end, y'all. You think it did, but it didn't. It's sitting in the prison systems right now with families torn apart, with single mothers out there that are having to be on welfare because they can't work because babysitting is too expensive. And they had a breadwinner in the house and somebody falsely accused them of something. And of course they had to have done it because the police said so, and they're always right. And I don't hate cops either. My daddy was a cop in the Air Force. My brother was a cop in the Air Force. I don't hate the police. I just think what they've done is they've gotten lazy and they've gotten lackadaisical and they're not doing their jobs to the best of their abilities. And what's happening is these old school cops are retiring and the new school cops that are coming up are not being trained properly. So instead of defunding the police, put more money into them, train them correctly. So they don't see color. So they see a crime and they can do what they need to do to investigate the crime. Start holding the prosecutors accountable. Start holding these judges accountable. You want to get rid of wrongful convictions. That's what's got to happen. And the only way that's going to happen is if we all come together as one and fight this as a community.
I agree.
So there's two other points that I think we can make as well. Part of it is level of education. Being a former cop, being a teacher myself, working in the whole field, everything. It comes down to understanding what is actually going on, not being closed-minded about, hey, this is just, I'm just going to accept it, because that's not good enough, right? If you look at the statistics and understand the incarceration rate within the United States just alone, and understand that it is extreme. And we're not just talking about like one or two people getting, we're talking about everybody can get arrested at any point simply for looking the wrong way. And you've got freedom of speech under the First Amendment. You've got all these guys that are now out on the street with their cameras and filming cops and whatever else. And the next thing is that the cops are getting lawsuits against them for whatever else. These guys are out there, as much as people hate them and they're a nuisance, people are out there actually fighting and trying to show what's going on. But a lot of the time, people are turning a blind eye to the situation. Well, it doesn't affect me because I don't know Johnny. I don't know this person. I don't know that person. Why should I care? How does that affect the daily person on what's going on? But in the end, again, it's part of a community. And whether you believe it or not, somebody is going to get affected, right? Yeah. Within the military, you can fire a bullet. Someone's going to get affected at some point, whichever way you want to look at it. The second thing is that we spend so much money on a system that is always going to be working against us. You can put up $20,000 for a retainer for a lawyer, and there's no guarantee. Well, $20,000 should give you a pretty good guarantee of something. If I'm going to go to a store and I'm going to go get a loaf of bread at $3, right? I know I'm either going to be fed, and the bread is either going to be good or bad. There's no other options here, right? But I know there's a guarantee of something. So how is it that I'm putting up $20,000 and there's no guarantee? That's a whole car. That's two cars for some families, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just a retainer. So if we did this, if we did the math on it, right, where you took some of that money and actually put it to people that are actually putting the effort in, don't just take my money and I'm just going to be done with it, but actually invest in what you're doing, invest in yourself, invest in this community, invest in the responsibility of yourself and others, and also just be a good person and be like, look, I would rather give you $10,000 here, Wickedly Judge, go investigate all that. Do you know how much it costs to run a background on somebody?
What's the average cost?
It's starts at $400 to run a background on a person. And we're talking full reports and everything. $400 alone can give me all the information I need on conviction rates, arrests. I can find out nearly anything on anybody and through my investigators just on a report itself. I can look at credit reports. I can look at email accounts. I can look at all these things. We can then trace people. We've done a lot of work in terms of tracking people down by simply a simple report. That's $400. yes, you have to invest in yourself, but you have to invest in the people that are incarcerated. Don't be skimping out on the idea like, hey, I'm not going to put any effort in, because they're the ones sitting in prison. You're the one that's free, that we're able to go out and work and do what you got to do and face this. But you're not facing this alone. Again, it comes down to a community. So if we keep feeding money into a lawyer that's never going to do anything for us, that's $20,000 you could have given to someone like us and said, hey, we're going to be behind you every step of the way. We email you. We call you. We check on you. How are you doing? Oh, I'm really struggling with this. Okay, well, we understand that there's a psychological effect to everything you're going through. You're not going through it by yourself. That's true. Give us $20,000 and hey, out of that $20,000, we're going to make sure you got food. We're going to make sure you got financial support. You're going to get psychological help. You're going to get whatever you need to get through this to be able to say, you know what, Rebecca, it's okay. We're here with you. Let's get your story out there. Let's get it on the news. Let's use our avenues. I've got a lot of political connections and networks. Hey, maybe you might have somebody. Okay, cool. Well, now two, three, this type of platform, everything is now connected. That we've now created an entire stream of opportunities to flood the information out there. Again, educating the people. So,
I think everything y'all said, man, is exactly what I've been yelling for a while. It's just that we have to find ways, because of the fact that everyone that's going through these things are all, you know, they're scattered out, right? And then what you guys are doing is a lot different than what somebody over here is doing and then what somebody over here is doing. But they all kind of have the same goal in mind, which is to get justice for the people who were done wrong, because not only people who were incarcerated wrong, there were people who were unarmed civilians that have been, you know, unalived by the police. And then we have pedestrian murders that has happened just because people don't care about, you know, people who walk. Right. We see this all the time in a bunch of major cities where a lot of people are losing their lives just by vehicular manslaughter by somebody who just hitting and running, because that's what they do. And we are trying to figure that out, too. Like, how is that allowed when there's a camera on every street, like in every intersection in a major city? But then yet they can't find these people who are doing this to like regular civilians that are walking. I've had a bunch of cases where the police have just technically just not investigated a blatant murder of a person because they were a pedestrian, right? And so it's so much going on, and you guys have both said the right things. Community, right? Which is even the people who are not actually affected by it. It can happen to you. So that's why I encourage people who watch the platform and all these other things to make sure that even when you guys come on, to try to even follow y'all, send y'all, even if it's just simple emojis or simple encouraging words to let y'all know to keep going, because these things are needed, because you guys are not only fighting for your loved ones, which, you know, selfishly so, you should be able to just focus on your loved ones. You guys are fighting for people that you don't know.
Correct.
Correct.
And this is the part about sacrifice and the part about community that we miss, because they allow us to be separated by the things that are not as important, like our skin color, like all of these other things that people use to keep us separate, but not knowing that, listen, it doesn't matter to these people on this end. They'll use you as quick as they'll use anybody else. They don't care, because the people I have on this platform, they're not black people, they're white people, they're Asian, you know, Spanish people. I haven't had, you know, Asian people yet, but, you know, Spanish people, these are all the people that I've had on here that are going through the very exact same thing. But yet on the surface, we're separated because of how we look. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest thing to get over. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
Let me put this out there. You know what's crazy is that people are so willing to volunteer times at soup kitchens and shelters and all this. And don't get me wrong, people do some amazing stuff at these programs. There's nothing wrong with going to a food shelter and either asking for food if you don't have the food and the money and whatever else, or just simply getting the help. So by all means, we're definitely endorsing the idea. If you need help, ask for help. People are there to help. What's crazy in my mind is that I'm come from a different country. I'm from Australia, right? And our mentality is very different. We're all about the concept of mateship. I can literally meet anybody from my country and we're instantly there to help. People are so willing to volunteer their times at soup kitchens and shelters and stuff. Well, what's the difference between what you're doing over at a soup kitchen and what you're doing with us, right? You're giving up your time to somebody that you don't know to give them some food. That's great. Well, jump on with us as well. You can take 10 minutes out of your week, send an email, write a letter, get your kids to, you know, write a thank you note, or, hey, you know what? We're here with you and stuff. One small word can change the life of an entire person. A simple card, you know, we don't do old school cards anymore and stuff, but I get donation boxes given to me from the Jewish community because I'm the Jewish liaison here at the this army base.
Right.
And we get kids every month writing notes to the soldiers like, hey, we're here for you. Thank you for what you're doing and all of that stuff. A lot of these soldiers don't get that communication anymore. And it's amazing to see the way that they've changed. And now they're wanting to give back and, you know, get into some sort of pen pal situation or whatever. So we've got a couple of guys doing pen pal work and whatever. But 10 minutes a week is not a lot. 5 minutes a day, right? You take 5 minutes a day to pray, to check your emails. Some guys are on TikTok, you know, doing all that. You think about how much time we waste doing other things when jump on board with us. We need volunteers. We need people to say, yes, I'm going to listen to this platform. I'm going to take 20 minutes out of my day to come and listen to what these guys have to say. You know what? It doesn't have to be financial. Yes, we would love people to donate and stuff, but hey, we're going to volunteer some time. What can I do to help? That's where the motion and this movement will start. And again, all these different groups are doing their own thing. And yes, it's sad because we don't all come together, but a lot of these other groups as well, I'm not discouraging a lot of the other groups, they don't have the same mentality. Right. Again, I didn't meet Rebecca prior to all of this. I simply heard about what was going on and I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to give my time and effort to do this. I'm not getting paid. Rebecca's not getting paid. But we're in the fight, literally in the fight with everybody on the ground, heart and soul. So people need to see that there's different sides to everything. Don't always volunteer to do other things and then push this stuff aside. Because you're never going to get these guys out. And I'm talking from a military perspective as well. You can't go in and grab a hostage if you don't actually go in and get the hostage. You know, they're not going to walk freely. These people are hoping for your advocation. They're hoping that you're going to put some sort of effort in and show that we care.
Yeah, man, that's good, man. Let's get to some of these comments real quick because there's been a few coming through. So here we have Myra Enterprises. He might... his mind, I think that's what they meant. One of those impacted by the get out mentality. For those that don't know what this means, watch the movie. I think what they were referring to was the part that we were talking about the sheriff earlier and how we particularly watched that happen, but they wanted to twist the narrative, right? To make it seem like the officers were correct. When all of us on the outside were saying, like, we never said that the officers was wrong besides the fact that he punched him in the face, right? Like, why did he need to be assaulted when you guys already clearly outnumbered him and you had everything that you could to do what you needed to do? He didn't need the assault. And the fact that he was able to assault him so freely like that. Can you imagine how many people get assaulted who don't have their cameras on, right? Because that's not everybody's first instinct. Sometimes they be so scared that they trying to just be in, you know, fight or flight mode that they don't always turn it on. But all right, let's see this select one. Electing the right people during midterm elections. I think that's very important as well too, right?
Because I definitely agree with that one. For the simple fact, you have some states out there that are still using laws from the 1800s. Michigan is one of them. Michigan literally has what they call like a hearsay law, where you can literally say somebody did something to you and the courts will take it and run with it and they will find that person guilty just by what you said. It's literally guilty by hearsay. Well, one of the cases that I handled was guilty by hearsay. And literally, if you listen to that, go to that podcast and listen to it, because the judge literally says right before the jury deliberation, you don't need any evidence whatsoever to convict this man. All you need is what she said. Now let that sink in for a minute. Do you know how dangerous of a law that is? So yep, I can say somebody assaulted me or sexually assaulted me. Let's go there. Somebody sexually assaulted me. All I got to say is they did it. There doesn't need to be any evidence whatsoever. So if a girlfriend and a boyfriend get into a fight, she can say that he took advantage of her against her will. He's going to prison. Y'all need to open up your eyes about how dangerous this stuff is. And it's not just Michigan that has this law. It's all over. It is dangerous. That means nobody is safe. Nobody.
No, you're right. Especially in Ohio, there are a lot of really, really bad laws on the books in Ohio still to this day. And it's crazy how that works too. And Ohio is one of the states that blatantly is proud to have these particular laws on the books. Yep. And no one that has been voted in since on the mayoral and the governor and has done anything to help change that form of legislation in the state of Ohio. And I just don't get that. And Ohio, I mean, there's a lot of other places that have some pretty bad ones, but Ohio itself has some really, really, really racist laws on the books. And it's crazy that that hasn't been changed or fought against yet. That's crazy.
I'll give you a reason why it's like that. So you start out as a defense attorney, okay? Then you go to the prosecutor side because you got elected in. Congratulations. You won all these, got all these convictions. Now you're the prosecutor. Okay, so then you get elected into office as a judge. Now you have to figure, you've made friends. You've gone to law school with all these different people all across, you know, because there's not that many law schools to go to. So you're all friends. And as you get promoted, guess what? You bring your friends along to work in the office with you. So it completes this cycle of mistakes until you look at the attorney general that's sitting in office right now, who is best friends with somebody who was disbarred. Why? Because he committed fraud.
Wow.
I mean, I could get it. Look up Tony Viola case. Look up justice for Don Pacella.
Yeah.
This woman literally lost her life at 26 years old because she was trying to right the wrong that the prosecutor had done.
That's crazy.
They killed her before she could testify. I'm telling you, this stuff happens. People think, oh, that doesn't happen. That's only in the movies. No, this is real life. The United States has political prisoners. They have people that are wrongfully convicted, and they make it impossible for these people to get back into the court system. They make it impossible. They withhold mail so you don't get your paperwork in time, so you can't file your appeals on time. They withhold evidence that lands you in prison in the first place. Markel Lundy's one of the cases I handled. They swore under oath that the DNA was his. And then as soon as he was convicted, now all of a sudden the crime lab says, oh, we made a mistake. The DNA was not his. He's still in prison.
Yeah.
If you got DNA that proves it was not you, why is that man not free? Because the court system doesn't want to admit that they made a mistake. Plain and simple. It's that simple. 20 years for Johnny. Why? Because the prosecutor during his time is now an appellate judge. They're not going to go against him. And the funny thing is we have to file motions at the trial court, which I think is the stupidest thing ever, because the trial court is never going to admit they made a mistake. In Johnny's case, we have to file at the trial court. Well, then we have to file an appeal at the appellate court. Well, guess who's sitting on the appellate court? The prosecutor that was the prosecutor during his trial. You think he's going to admit that he made a mistake? No. You think he's going to recuse himself? No. Why? Because he doesn't want his mistakes getting out. So they're going to deny it. And he's got friends in the Ohio Supreme Court. You think they're going to go against him? No. And this is why people stay incarcerated. This is why they keep them in prison. They make it impossible for them to get back into court. Because nobody will admit that, hey, We screwed up. And that's all it would take. We screwed up. Let him out.
Wow. Yo, listen, that's crazy. And I think that's what this next comment goes into. I think we pulled it up early. It was like, prayerfully, when the public grasps what's at stake in midterms, from congressional control to state governance, they're more likely to treat these elections as meaningful opportunities for change. And I believe that, because there's a lot of people who don't believe in the midterms as they do when it comes down to just, you know, electing the president, because these people don't have to campaign. Like, I don't see judges campaigning. I don't see DAs campaigning, no. But they always get voted in. And the problem is that they get voted in when it's just a certain low number of people voting, or when there's nobody voting. They still going to go based on the people that go in there and vote. So these are so many things. And one thing that they talk about in our community, and Daniel, which is dope, I'm glad you said that you're from Australia, because just the culture is different there, right? But over here, they make us feel like politics is not important. To the point where you have a whole bunch of people who will walk around and be like, yo, politics ain't my thing. I don't get into politics. When that's the number one thing that controls us is politics.
Yeah.
So would you coming from us? Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
No. I was just going to say, the one thing that I would like to put out to anybody, and you talking about that, is having worked in the political system as a campaign manager and stuff, is ask questions. Whether it's midterm, whether you're going for governor, whether you're going for president and stuff, everyone always asks the bigger questions of what are you going to do to put, you know, the border control situation and this and that. That's all wonderful, right? Again, that's not exactly affecting the immediate life of people, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Ask the small questions on, if I elect you as president, if I elect you as governor, if I elect you as secretary of state or whatever, how are you going to impact what directly affects me as a person, especially if I've got someone convicted, right? Mm. If I'm going to elect you, then who do you have as a contender for chief justice of the state, chief prosecutor, whatever it may be? And then ask them the questions, have them come to the debates, have them be out on the streets. As you said, I can tell you for a fact, when we were running campaigns, we didn't work with anybody else other than the governor candidates, secretary of state candidates. And we had the guy that we were working with, he was running for mining, chief of mining or something like that, right? And he was out campaigning. And I mean, he had one other guy that he was running against. Well, his career was so far ahead of everybody else that we already knew he was going to get voted in. So that wasn't an issue. But he was out there amongst the people. Whereas all these other guys are hiding behind the law books. Well, law isn't there to protect you. Law is there to protect everybody else and protect the word of what the state and the government want to represent. And if you don't uphold the law and you don't question the law, it's never going to change. So when you go out there for midterms, ask the questions that are going to put them and make them uncomfortable. Ask the things, hey, what am I going to do if my person gets incarcerated? What do I do to get him out? Are you going to stand by us? And do you care? Amongst all the other questions. Sorry. True. And then, continue with what you're saying. We are governed by politics. You're right.
I'm agreeing with you. Like, and that makes a whole lot of sense. It's the questions to ask. I think most people go into these places and they just listen, because they just accept
the answer. I'm gonna feed. This is psychology 101. You want to order a burger from McDonald's, right? These are the only options I'm going to give you. How many people, and we do this ourselves, this is why I say it, how many people ever ask for a Big Mac meal without the middle bun? And have you ever gotten a response on, oh, we can't do that? Why not? Why can't you do that? You can't take a middle piece of bread out, because no one ever does it. We do it because we don't like the middle piece of bun. Right. But I always get told off, like, no, we can't do that. We can't do it. Well, no, you can. You just choose not to. Mm-hmm. If you don't ask the questions and you don't put the question out there, we just choose blindly. We just accept everything as if it's a normal response, because we put this blind trust in people as if it's, okay, you're a judge, you should know the law. Well, when was the last time they handled a low-level case? Everyone wants to deal with the big, higher, fancy cases and this and that, and it's going to be, you know, put on national news, and I've just won this, and now I've got my $6 million payout and whatever and blah, blah, blah. Okay, everyone wants the death row types of cases, but no one's ever willing to take the guy that's just jaywalked. And then when you do, you give them to the public defenders that have zero knowledge and zero background, and they're trying to get to those high-level cases, but they don't even care. But again, we're just so blindly open to accepting what's put in front of us that we don't bother asking the right questions and we just accept the law for what it is. I'm not a lawyer. Yeah. I've got people that work with us that are lawyers. And they can tell you, hey, like, that's actually not true. The mass majority of people that are involved in these types of cases have done more legal research than the lawyers themselves. You can ask Rebecca any question about what she and her partner's gone through. And she can quote books. She can quote the legal system within her state. She can quote legal systems within three other states because she's got the cases, and they're all simultaneously effective. They're all the same case, just in different states.
Different states.
Right. So the fact that you've got somebody here that hasn't spent $150,000 on a law degree that can outlaw a lawyer proves that the education system is wrong, proves that we don't ask the right questions, and proves that we blindly accept everything for its face.
Yeah, that's
it's funny that you say that, because like my biggest, I posted this on Facebook one day. You have a lawyer that's a prosecutor, right? He went to law school. He had to pass the bar to become a lawyer. Then you have a judge. He had to go to law school and pass the bar to become a lawyer and then eventually become a judge. Right. Then you have your public defender who had to go to law school and pass the bar to become that public defender. Okay. Right. But you have 12 people sitting in that box that ain't never been a day in their life to law school. They have no law degree. They have not passed the bar, but they know enough of the law to be able to judge you and decide the fate of your life.
Right.
But I can't go to court and defend mine because I'm not a lawyer, but I can sit on the jury and judge him. Make that make sense?
Wow.
Like, why?
That's, yeah.
And everybody's like, well, that's just the way it's always been. Oh, okay. Well, When do we speak up and say this needs to change? Just like people need to understand, the government doesn't rule us. The government works for us. We can fire them. We hire them by election. We can fire them. And we need to start doing that. Yeah. Y'all want these laws to change. Y'all want everything to change, but nobody wants to do anything to make that change. We just want to sit back and go, well, it doesn't directly affect me. So I'm just going to gripe about it. And hopefully somebody will step up and do something. Great. I got to the point where enough's enough. I'm stepping up.
Nah, you're right. No, you're right. Because that's the mentality that a lot of people take. It's not happening to me. And that's the thing about politics. You know, people don't think that politics affect them. And I'm saying to them, no. Every day it's affecting us. These laws, these things that we have to deal with each and every day is based on what somebody else is saying that they want to do to us. Not for us, but to us, when we have the power to change what happens to us, but we don't work together. Why? Because the biggest thing that keeps us separate in this country is racism. And that's the worst thing, right? Because it's the stupidest thing, because the circumstances are the same no matter what your skin color is, right? The circumstances are the same. They don't care about you. They will use you for the bottom line. And at the end of the day, we don't change the bottom line because, like y'all said, you know, people go move to a state. Like, you know, they'll live in a state, but they before they move to that state, and I'm guilty of that because I'm a transplant from another state. You know what I mean? And I didn't come to the state that I moved to and be like, yo, let me look at the laws before I moved there.
Yeah.
To see what happened. Just if some mishap happened, because mistakes happen all the time. Let me just make sure. Most people don't. What most people go look for is either weather or how much money they're going to make with this relocation based on their jobs. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. Most people look at these states to move to based on those. They don't look at it and say, hold on, let me look at me and let me go look at the laws in the state to see if this state will be a state that I need to go to because of these things that can happen. And to be honest with y'all, a lot of people who grow up in the states that they grew up don't look at the laws from their states. They live there all their life and don't know that, you know, in some states, a jaywalking can get you like a 30 days in jail for crossing the street wrong.
We still have laws from back in the 1800s when the Constitution and all of that was first established. Do you know how many stupid laws we have in Florida? You can't tie an alligator to a fire hydrant. The law is there because at one point it was effective. So why is that still applicable? But yet you walk down the street and you jaywalk and you get thrown in prison for 30 days. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Yep. You can't eat ice cream cone on a Sunday walking backwards down the street. Like, who even thought about that kind of stuff? Like,
let me put this out to people, all right? Let me put this out to everybody. Take 5 minutes, any day of the week, take 5 minutes, look up the dumbest laws of your state. And I assure you, it is a great conversation piece for dinner. It is a great conversation piece for a work colleague. And it is one of the funniest things that if you are having a worst time of your week and it is just, you hate work, life is just not working for you, and you just want something to break that negative mentality and stuff, look up the dumbest laws, because I guarantee every single state's got one, right? For Arizona, Florida, wherever you're from, I guarantee you can find two minimum of the dumbest laws that will change your entire day. Because we do this like every, I think my wife and I do it every couple of months. We choose a different state and we look it up. I mean, it's a conversational piece for dinner, right? It also helps keep the dinners alive, and other than just talking about work. But I guarantee you, look it up, take 5 minutes, and you will see how dumb this is. And this just shows that most people do not know what is being affected in their lives. They just, again, blindly accept everything. I would rather give you and your show, right? I would give you guys $100 a week if I knew that I was going to get something out of it. That's the general mentality. What am I going to get out from you? As opposed to, you're doing the right thing. I love what you're doing. I support you. Here, keep doing what you're doing. Because in the end, you're spreading the right message. We just accept the face value of what it is. And it's very frustrating. People need to open their eyes and see, look at the laws, look how it's going to affect you. We're in this world for what, 86 years, I think, is the average lifespan of a U.S., right? Yep, if you look at the lifespan, so between 0 to 10, you can't have any impact. 10 to about 15, still zero impact. By 16 onwards, now you're starting to drive. You don't think you should know the laws about driving? Right. Well, I would start looking up that stuff. So from 16 to 86, even before the 86, because realistically, you're stopping driving, what, about 78, maybe 80 years old? So that lifespan, you should probably know your law of where you live. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
No, you make a perfectly good point, because that's the thing about a lot of people. They have smartphones, but they don't use it to be smart, right? Because this is easy information that people could look up, but that's not what pops into people's mind. What pops into people's mind is, what's the latest rapper doing? What's the latest movie star doing? What's going on with the Epstein files? What's going on with all these different things, versus saying, yo, asking like ChatGPT. And it's another thing about artificial intelligence, you know. We've always had artificial intelligence, even when starting with Google, but people have not called it that. So people have thinking that this is something new, and it's not. But if you have something like ChatGPT, it's easy for you to ask ChatGPT, what are the stupidest laws in my state, and get everything ran down to you. Even when it comes down to laws now you can really break things down, get letters written up, and all you got to do. It's so much technology at our grasp, but most people are in fear of it versus learning how to use it and to help them. Even in these fights that y'all in, using, you know, artificial intelligence will help y'all get to so many things so much quicker and directly, because it's there for you to pull from. The only difference in what you guys are saying versus the mentality of most people is that they have that, if it ain't affecting me, I don't care about it.
Yeah,
but it affects you, because at the end of the day, you know, You know, it may not be your nephew, your brother, your husband. I get that. It may not be, but it very well could. And that's the only part that we don't pretty much pay attention to, that we think that is, it won't happen to us, or it can't happen to you.
Correct. It's in counterterrorism, it's called the bang theory, right? I don't know if you guys know. I've told Rebecca about this. The bang theory is simple, right? The incident occurs is the bang. You've got left of bang and you've got right of bang. You can be either proactive on the left side and stop that situation from occurring. Get out there, do your research. Don't let it affect you, because you know your laws, you know your rights, you know everything that can stop you from getting into the incident. Or you can be the victim afterwards and, I didn't know that I couldn't go down a highway at 180 miles an hour when it's only a 60, right? Well, right. You know the law because it says it's 60, so therefore don't do it. But then you get into a car accident. Well, it's not my fault, except I'm the one that's speeding and I'm the one that's driven straight into the back of somebody and now, God forbid, you know, affected somebody else's life and destroyed their life because I'm just being dumb. So the bang theory is simple. You can either be proactive and learn to get out there, find the research, find the information, do what you have to do so you don't affect that incident, or you can be the victim afterwards. And a lot of people don't understand that you got to get out there. You got to do the research. You got to do this. You got to do that. Be proactive. Be supportive in that. It's never going to happen to me. Well, I can give you plenty of counterterrorism situations and, you know, those sort of situations. Having worked in them, we gave the information to the United States about 9/11. People didn't listen. It was never going to happen.
Yeah.
How many lives were lost? This was never going to happen. That was never going to happen. Yeah, Rebecca, Rebecca knew Johnny was going to get into all of this trouble, right? Clearly, because, yeah, that's how it works. I mean, had you told her that like 20 years ago? And hey, you know, Johnny, 20 years from now, you're going to still be incarcerated for something you didn't do. You think you would have, like, people, come on. It's not difficult.
They would have moved. They definitely would have moved. So somebody
let's rewind history to show you and then replay it. Mm-hmm. And if you can't replay it in your mind and make sense, it doesn't make sense. Keep things simple. Keep things logical. I'm not going to put myself into a situation, right, where I'm going to get into trouble. Because it's not a normal thing to do. You don't go out there searching for that. If you go out there searching for trouble, you're going to get into trouble. The law will catch up to you. But if you're not out there, let alone in the same state, and yet you're the one getting dragged away because supposedly there's evidence against you, like, why are you not getting the help that you need? Why is your family out there begging literally for people to help support, and yet people turn a blind eye? It makes zero sense.
And one thing people need to understand, too, is wrongful conviction does not necessarily mean that you are completely innocent.
Correct.
Now, let me explain this. Wrongful conviction means that you were wrongfully convicted of a crime. That can entail the police illegally obtaining a search warrant. Yes, they may have found something with that search warrant, but they obtained the search warrant illegally. So now you've been convicted of a crime that you may or may not have done, but the police didn't do their job. They broke the law in order to convict you.
In a lawful way.
That is what
Correct.
A wrongful conviction is. Not everybody that's wrongfully convicted is 100% innocent.
Yeah.
It just and was convicted for something that they didn't do, but you know they was able. And I think that's where the term trumped up charges come from, because then you have people who they get caught for one thing, or like the book that you put up. You know, the lady said her son was being looked for the fact that it was a murder involved, but then they got him on a robbery.
Right.
Just based on his cell phone signal. Not that he did the robbery, but just based off his cell phone signal being in that area, they convicted, they charged him with that too. And here's the thing about wrongful convictions is that for everybody that's wrongfully convicted, there is a person who actually did the crime. Mm-hmm. So the fact that there are people who are in jail for wrongful convictions is really crazy, because there is a person that really did the crime who could be in that position. So even when it comes down to the fact that we know that the prison system is set up for money and they just running people through based on that, that's it. Whether you're innocent or guilty, it don't matter. If you get caught up in the snare, they're going to use you. But the fact that they do that and then the person who actually did it is still outside. Yeah. Because they could easily fill these prisons up with people who actually did the crimes.
And versus still just make putting just the as person much
in,
money.
They still make just as much money versus it, what they're doing, just throwing anybody in there because it makes money.
And what's crazy is that you're about to, the state's about to lose money because one wrongfully convicted case that gets overturned is a crazy payout for the person that's been convicted. So you're either going to lose up to $300 million because you've been wrongfully convicted. The state's going to be affected. So if the state is so financially focused on making money through these systems, all it takes is somebody to actually do the research, hence Rebecca, who's literally got evidence that they tried to bury, right? The state should understand, like, if that gets turned in and that gets put into now the court case and whatever else, well, you're about to get screwed, aren't you? So financially, what's the pros and cons here? Like, you can either admit the honest situation and be like, look, okay, mea culpa, we're at fault, it happens, we take the hit. We would have more respect for you as citizens by saying, you know what, you're a good judge, we understand that you make mistakes, you're human. Or do you want on your record that you've just lost $300 million because of a lawsuit because you charged somebody and you accepted that and you hid evidence and whatever else, regardless of the fact that we actually have the evidence here? I mean, again, like, logically, it just doesn't make sense.
And people really need to do research, because I can almost guarantee that every single state has a wrongful conviction fund already set up that the state puts money into, because they know people are wrongfully convicted.
Exactly.
It takes at least, I think the last statistic I read was like, it's at least 18 years that a person is wrongfully incarcerated before they even get the first hope of exoneration. Look at the people that have been exonerated. 43 years, 38 years, 56 years. You're talking whole lifetimes. There ain't a dollar, there's not a dollar amount in the world that will give that Johnny back the chance to raise his kids, that will give him back the chance to spend time with his mom and dad before they pass away. There is not a dollar in the world that will give that time back. What are they
going to do? It's generational trauma.
Yes.
You're right. And you're right, because the guy that I had on that was exonerated, he had to spend 16 of those years in prison before he was exonerated for something he didn't do, you know? All right, so look, we got a couple more comments here, y'all. We're going to get into these comments, and then we're going to give y'all, we want y'all to give out information on how people can actually connect with y'all, because what you guys are doing is very important. And then what I'm going to do, because I'm going to connect. So what I feel like is neat, is necessary, is for me to have a show where I have like a panel style with all of you guys on it, because a few of y'all need to be connected, right? And then what we do is we have this conversation, this open conversation about the different things, but also find a means to, like y'all guys said, outside of your personal organizations, find a way to connect and everybody move in unison for a common cause. Whether it's what we are talking about tonight, whether we got to come up with some way for judges and prosecutors to be held accountable for the things that they do, or we got to find a way to get some of these things that we're going through and have them labeled as hate crimes, because there's no way that a person should be in prison for something they didn't do and not be considered a hate crime. That is a hate, because like you said, they lose so much more than just a, oh, I'm sorry, here's some money. They lose, like you said, raising children, they lose parents, they lose all of these other things throughout having the time that somebody just said, oh, I just did something because I felt like it. It's just not cool. So let's see. We got... another comment, but more people need to be educated. So many people have been asleep and brainwashed. That goes along with what you said, Daniel, about education. It's a lot of people who are just not educated, or they're not self-educating themselves with these smartphones by trying to figure these things out. So that goes along with what you said. Okay, and then we got Karen Glasscock here. She says, until prosecutors are held liable for misconduct, anybody can be wrongfully convicted. Correct. This has to change, and American people need to step up and demand change. And listen, that goes along with what we're saying, right?
Correct.
It's American people, not white people, not black people. Not we got to get out of the stigma by grouping each other up by color and start to understand that as a group of Americans, we are all being held accountable by people who get in these positions. You said it earlier, Rebecca, like, listen, this person is this person's friend. They went to school with this person. This person got a promotion and then brought this person through. Nepotism has worked against us in so many different ways that we have just accepted it. Like you said, again, Daniel, the acceptance of this is just the way it is. And this is not the way it has to be. Yes, it's the way it's been, but it's not the way it has to be. So Karen, thank you for that. Because like
that's a good
said,
comment.
We throughout this, even this program tonight, like if a person watches this, there's been a bunch of people jumping on tonight and people are going to watch these playbacks. You know, if they don't get nothing out of this conversation tonight, the one thing they should get is community, communication, and togetherness. And if people don't get those three things out of our conversation today, they've missed completely all of our points tonight. Because that's all we're saying. Right? These are the things we need to do as human beings, as a group of people who are affected by the same things on the same level, just maybe in a different place, state, whatever, city, whatever, same scenario. Look, this is what we got to do because you guys, people need to be able to reach out to you guys directly, right? Because there's going to be times where people need someone like y'all who, Rebecca, you personally, you're going through something and you still have the strength to fight for other people. Some people are going to need to be able to contact you. And the same thing with you, Daniel. You're here. You're from a whole nother country. You fought for the country, right? You're still fighting for the country. You're still enlisted, right? And you're also fighting for people.
Yep.
Outside of protecting people.
So we're going from the active duty side right now in the infantry to working with chaplains. So I'm with the chaplain corps. And one of the things we see, especially over my base, is that there's a high suicide rate. And a lot of it comes down to we don't ask the right questions. We don't always show that the soldiers have got something going on. Everyone's got their own internal struggle. Everyone's got their own internal fight. Speak. Ask for help. Ask somebody that's gone through it. Rebecca is not the only one that's gone through it in the entire country. You're not the only one that's putting out a podcast. Share the message. Share the love. Show the support. And don't be afraid to ask for help. I mean, I'm not even from this country, and yet what can I do? What can I do to help you? What can I do to help somebody? Someone like Karen coming on is great, asking these questions, saying these comments, because, again, you're showing that you care.
Karen is actually the girlfriend or fiance of the case that will be on my podcast in September.
Fantastic. Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
And then also, if Karen wants to come on the podcast and talk about it, too, on my platform, you know, just connect us, and we can make that happen, too, because we need all... We need as many stories as we can to get out there and so we can actually form this alliance that needs to be formed. And, you know, I'm doing my part. Like I said, the platform is open. This is what we need. And we got to use social media to get these things around. And, you know, for the most part, people look at platforms like mine and they say, you know, everybody has one. But I promise you, everybody's not doing the same thing that do have one.
One thing we wanted to put out there is, what are your thoughts? And I know Rebecca and I have spoken about it briefly, and we've spoken to some of our other guys we work with, is I hate using the term conference, but it's sort of a conference, a networking conference, 2-3 days, and each time it rotates through different states and different locations. And having someone like yourself as an MC, leading panels, talking about that, getting everybody with their stories in a simultaneously beneficial location, getting those sponsors and all of that stuff isn't too hard, right? But getting people into the same room other than just hiding behind a camera, because I can be here and I can be like, yeah, cool, I've got 15 other things going on, and it's like, oh, yeah, my attention's on you. Well, let's get everybody in the same location, travel together, unite together, hear each other's stories, and then figure out a solution.
Now, what do you think? That's fly. That's fly. I like that a lot. I mean, I've actually had a vision of that, being able to be a part of something like that. So the fact that you're saying that is just confirmation. And, you know, that's just the way God works. A lot of times we think that, Amen. You know, these are just random thoughts that we're given and not understanding that they're visions that we're given. And when you're in your purpose, things will show up to align up with you long as you're in your purpose. So I'm definitely with that. And I think that's what's going to be great about creating an online panel first to get everybody together and on the same on the same communication path. And then that way we can start planning on how we could physically and what city that would be the best to host what we're trying to do and get everybody to be able to show up and also get the community to come out. Right. Because we need the community to come out and hear these stories. Right. We don't need a bunch of us just to talk to each other. We need a bunch of us to talk to people and get them in there. So I do necessarily think that we should have some more communication offline and continue to kind of build that. You know, some things we need to keep to ourselves. You know,
yeah, definitely. We're here. And this is an opportunity for people to get their message out, get their stories out, hold people accountable. We could look, when we're not talking about mobbing a lawyer or a judge and stuff, but let them come out and hear. Let them. It's one thing to say it over a phone. It's another thing to look at somebody's eyes as they're telling you the story. Yeah. It's another thing to look at somebody and sit with them and hold their hand and pray with them and be like, look, it's okay. You're doing your job. We're doing our job. We're just trying to get the love and attention that's needed out there for our own family members, our friends, our community, the wider United States.
Well, look, this is what we got to do, because before we get out of here, I need to make sure that each of y'all give out the information that y'all need to make sure that people can contact y'all directly. And we're going to double back and set these other things up. But for right now, we need people to be able to understand how they can reach out to y'all. So we'll start with you, Rebecca, then Daniel, you'll close us out. And we'll make sure that people can understand. So go ahead, Rebecca, let everybody know how they can find you and get more information about everything that you have going on.
Well, there's a couple ways that you can reach me. You can go to wickedlyjudge.com, and we have a contact us page on there. We've got a submit a case page on there. So you can go that way. You can email me, wickedlyjudge@gmail.com. You can direct message me on Facebook on the Wickedly Judge page. You can call. I can 513-393-7452. That's Wickedly Judge's phone number. Send me a message, post it on Facebook. I don't care. Go on LinkedIn. We're on there. Go on TikTok. We're on there.
Right. I think her signal is messed up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Tish, you come back. Go ahead, Daniel. Let everybody know how they can find you.
I mean, for me, it's a lot simpler. We've got Veteran Alliance on Facebook. Being in the military is obviously a lot harder with time and effort. So what I would do, and I'm all about networking and promotion and support, is I'll send you my details, and then that way people can go through you as well. And that way we've already got that network partnership, same as Rebecca with Wick of the Judged. To contact me personally, I don't give out the sales and stuff. So we do more of a behind the scenes type administrative type stuff. But again, if people want to reach out, they can go through Wickedly Judged, through Rebecca and everything, because obviously we work directly with them, supporting them. I'll give you my details as well. We can do all of that offline. Okay, and then people can go through you. And again, ask for help. If you need help, we're here to help. We're here to listen. And even if we can't specifically help you right now, don't be afraid to reach out to someone like yourself and to Rebecca as well.
Right. All right. Yeah. So listen, to all of y'all that watched tonight, man, and everybody that jumped off and on, and then to all of you guys that's going to watch the playback, we really hope that you got a lot of information out of tonight's show. We hope that you can look at the guests that I have on here and then be able to have, be empathetic. Right. Because although you personally may not be going through the struggles that they're going through, we understand that you possibly could. And even if not so, we're all dealing with something that is out of our control. And so we need to always make sure that we can be in a position that we can receive support without it looking like it's a handout, or without feeling like, you know, subconsciously making you feel bad because you have to ask for help. Closed mouths do not get fed. Now, remember that. And for the most part, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Now, you might get a dumb answer, but there's no such thing as a dumb question. So we got to make sure that people ask all the right questions. Put yourself in a position to be there for others so others can be there for you. This is just how it go. And listen, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Some of the people that y'all may support may not be the ones that support you in return. But just like any other thing, when you're in the right space and you're in your purpose, God is always going to send the people that you need. So just be mindful of that too. We got to make sure that we do things to keep us, our emotional intelligence very high. All right. Because in these particular times, like Rebecca, she is open. Daniel is open. But like they said, y'all, they are helping people. They're not open because they have time. They're saying to you, reach out. But they are actively helping people. So let's make sure that we can fall in line. You want to get help, help somebody, and then they can help you. Remember, they could get to you quicker if they have more hands-on helping them get through the things that they already have. It's like anything in life. Teamwork is how it works. Yes, there's one man with a vision, but if you have four or five people, they could take over a whole state. So correct. You just got to be the people that understand that it works better when people work together, right? Absolutely. So each and every one of y'all know the vibes. Each and every week, I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. So stay, keep it locked. Each and every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, just check in with your boy, and we're going to make sure we get y'all this information, and we're going to always have guests on there that have amazing stories that you guys either can relate to or you can support, right? So until then, y'all know what to do. Stay focused out there, stay fly, and remember, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next week, y'all, peace.
Amen.